What's up, gang? Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. On today's episode, we will be talking about The Brothers Karamazov, Book 6, Chapter 3, Part G. The question that I asked is kind of a stupid question. What was Zosso talking about? Stupid and quite simple. I was just a bit lost. What do you want about Zosso? What are you talking about? Tekrific said, "This is my takeaway from this section. Be as joyful as children." I can get behind that. Easier said than done, though, but we can try with effort and willpower. I was reading the chapter of War and Peace today, chapter 12 or 13, where young Natasha wants to have her first kiss with her crush, and she makes him, like, she hides in the flower garden thing, and she makes him go in there, and then she asks him to kiss her doll. She's got a little doll thing, a little toy, and he's like, "You're being silly," and then she makes him kiss her, and it's so cute and innocent and childlike, and Tolstoy did a good job there of capturing that "be as joyful as children" thing. It's probably the cutest chapter in War and Peace, but we're not here to talk about War and Peace, are we? Uncle Jossel Mayer said, "It seems Zosima is in his default mode network. Default mode network. It's okay, just give him time." I'm not sure what that means, but Swimster the Mama Fishy seems to know, saying, "Oh, perfect description. I had not heard of this, so thank you. Although I don't think Zosima has much time left on Earth. On another note, I'm not an aficionado of prayer, so I was pretty meh on this chapter." What is default mode network? Alright, I'm googling default mode network. Default mode network. Oh, it's a thing. In neuroscience, DMN is a large-scale brain network of interacting brain regions known to have highly correlated with each other and distinct from other networks in the brain. It's initially assumed commonly active when a person is not focused on the outside world, but the brain is at a wakeful rest, such as during daydreaming or mind-wandering. Okay. It's known that it contributes elements of experience that are related to external task performance. Also, when individuals are thinking about others, thinking about themselves, remembering the past and planning for the future. Right. Okay. That's what he's doing then, I guess. It's okay, just give him time. He's just reflecting, isn't he? And dying, I believe. He's dying all through this whole section of the book. "I am Norwegian," said, "Haha, you got me there." Oh, in response to this. "Then what about the forgiveness stuff?" Is that something I said? "What about the forgiveness stuff?" Sounds like something I would have said. "You got me there, though. I think that repentance has to be genuine. If there exists external judgment seeing through you, then cynical strategies of regret would not work. Maybe someone with better knowledge of theology could weigh in." Zosima opens the chapter by speaking of the importance of prayer. "While I might seem like a Christian apologist during these discussions, I am not Christian myself, and I don't really understand conventional prayer. The Hebrew definition makes much more sense to me. Prayer is self-judgment. It is introspective self-betterment. But most Western Christians, just look at r/Christianity, pray for God to change the world for them, which seems wrong to me. The founding fathers in the US were mainly deists, something that appeals to me much more than anything else. That may be an idea planted in my head by the movie Constantine. Angela Dodson, I guess God has a plan for us all. John Constantine, God's a kid with an ant farm, lady. He's not planning anything." Good movie. I Am Norwegian said, "Great movie, by the way. It still holds up. This book is making me realize that my conception of religion is too much of an intellectual exercise without any real understanding of the message of love and appreciation for life." Dosto said that he expressed all he wanted to express before he died in The Brothers Karamazov, and this chapter, A to whatever letter this ends at, this kind of section with the number, with the letters, has been Dosto speaking to the reader more directly than in any previous chapter. Yeah, okay. It has been a fairly direct thing, hasn't it? This section, pretty direct. Like, it's the spiritual leader of the book so far, just straight up putting his affairs in order and giving his last little soliloquy about the meaning of life. You can't get much more direct than that. By, like, straight up, the author says, this is the guy. This is the most, I don't know, spiritual, I'm just going to use the word spiritual again, guy in the book, and this is what he reckons. Yeah, pretty damn direct. Alright, that was the convo, Seishiono, about part, part G. Now we're going to read part H. Part H is very short indeed, but that's okay with me. I'm actually quite liking these shorter chapters. Just moving at a leisurely pace at the moment, but don't worry, once this section's over, there's some nice long chapters coming up. Back to the normal 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20 page chapters. But here we go, this chapter's about a page and a half. Alright, this won't take long at all. Can a man judge his fellow creatures? Faith to the end. That is the title of Part H, and it goes like this. Remember particularly that you cannot be a judge of anyone, for no one can judge a criminal until he recognizes that he is just such a criminal as the man standing before him, and that he perhaps is more than all men to blame for that crime. When he understands that, he will be able to be a judge. Though that sounds absurd, it is true. If I had been righteous myself, perhaps there would have been no criminal standing before me. If you take upon yourself the crime of the criminal your heart is judging, take it at once. Suffer for him yourself, and let him go with reproach. And, even if the law itself makes you his judge, act in the same spirit, so far as possible, for he will go away and condemn himself more bitterly than you have done. If, after your kiss, he goes away untouched, mocking at you, do not let that be a stumbling block to you. It shows his time has not yet come, but it will come in due course. And, if it come not, no matter. If not he, then another in his place will understand and suffer and judge and condemn himself. And the truth will be fulfilled. Believe that. Believe it without doubt. For in that lies all the hope and faith of the saints. Work without ceasing. If you remember in the night, as you go to sleep, I have not done what I ought to have done, rise up at once and do it. If the people around you are spiteful and callous and will not hear you, fall down before them and beg their forgiveness, for in truth you are to blame for their not wanting to hear you. And if you cannot speak to them in their bitterness, serve them in silence and in humility, never losing hope. If all men abandon you and even drive you away by force, then, when you are left alone, fall on the earth and kiss it, water it with your tears, and it will bring forth fruit, even though no one has seen or heard you in your solitude. Believe to the end, even if all men went astray and you were left the only one faithful. Bring your offering even then and praise God in your loneliness. And if two of you are gathered together, then there is a whole world, a world of living love. Embrace each other tenderly and praise God, for if only in you too his truth has been fulfilled. If you sin yourself, and grieve even unto death, for your sins or for your sudden sin, then rejoice for others, rejoice for the righteous man, rejoice that if you have sinned, he is righteous and has not sinned. If the evil doing of men moves you to indignation and overwhelming distress, even to a desire for vengeance on the evil doers, shun above all things that feeling. Go at once and seek suffering for yourself, as though you were yourself guilty of that wrong. Accept that suffering and bear it, and your heart will find comfort, and you will understand that you too are guilty, for you might have been a light to the evildoers, even as the one man sinless, and you were not a light to them. If you had been a light, you would have lightened the path for others too, and the evildoer might perhaps have been saved by your light from his sin. And even though your light was shining, Yet you see men were not saved by it. Hold firm and doubt not the power of the heavenly light. Believe that if they were not saved, they will be saved hereafter. And if they are not saved hereafter, then their sons will be saved. For your light will not die even when you are dead. The righteous man departs, but his light remains. Men are always saved after the death of the deliverer. Men reject their prophets and slay them, but they love their martyrs and honour those whom they have slain. You are working for the whole, are acting for the future. Seek no reward, for great is your reward on this earth, the spiritual joy which is only vouchsafed to the righteous man. Fear not the great nor the mighty, but be wise and ever serene. Know the measure, know the times, study that. When you are left alone, pray. Love to throw yourself on the earth and kiss it. Kiss the earth and love it with an unceasing consuming love. Love all men, love everything. Seek that rapture and ecstasy. Water the earth with the tears of your joy and love those tears. Don't be ashamed of that ecstasy. Prize it, for it is a gift of God and a great one. It is not given to many, but only to the elect. Alright, there we go. Another quick little chapter done. Thank you for listening today. Head over to the Reddit, have a little bit of a chit chat, and I'll see you tomorrow.